Howdy, folks, and welcome to the June 6th edition of Dead Pit Radio. I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm the B-Plan.
B-Plan's here, Bulls. All the B-Yachts all the B-Yachts need to go, How's it going, Steve?
It's going pretty good.
Well, that's all about to change because now you're talking to me.
Yeah, I know. You're going to shit on my parade.
Yeah.
You won't even piss on it. You'll shit on it.
That's right. I will shit corny,
yep.
You know, black salad-y mushroom shit all over you.
Kyarn corny.
Yeah. Darn kyarny goodness.
So,
I'll give you guys a little bit of a rundown on what was supposed to be on the show this week. Okay. What we had planned.
Who's the plan? Yeah, the B plan.
Well, the B plan's kind of the A plan now since I actually, and people, you know, and Uncle Bill does this to me too. He's like, you don't even ask me to do the show. I had about 2 o'clock today. I was like, do you want to do a show today? No response. I talked to him like for about 2 hours straight up until that point. Then about an hour later, I was like, bitch, ? No response at all. So,
wow.
Uncle Bill, fuck
you.
You
asked so nicely.
Yeah, I did. Well, that's nice for me. But yeah. Anyway, the show this week, I had talked to Felcher last week, last Saturday, right after we did their Saturday Night Dead Pit show. You want to come back on? You haven't done a mic check in a while. It's been quite a while, almost a year. You want to come back on and talk about some stuff? And he was like, yeah, sure. I mean, Wednesday evening or Thursday evening should be good. So, I text him back Wednesday evening, and I'm like, can you be available tomorrow evening, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know how you can see when people read your messages on Facebook? He totally read it, but he didn't respond.
Oh, my.
Don't you hate when that's bullshit. Like, at least say, no, I can't. I'm sorry, man, I can't do it. Don't fucking just ignore me. Leave me hanging, so... Send all the hate mail to Sleepy, Michael Felcher, on Facebook if you want to.
He's hanging out with the kittens, dude.
I don't know what he's doing. He's definitely not responding to my Facebook messages, and I don't appreciate that shit.
Someone's ego's hurt a little bit.
But again, I want to send a thanks to everybody that sent their donations for the Dead Pit Premium website.
Thanks, I got some new shoes out of it.
Which, you know, premium, meaning we're updating the site this coming fall. You'll have a brand new Dead Pit website with every Dead Pit episode. Every episode we've ever done will be archived on that. But to make that happen, to make sure that can happen, we have a donation box on the main page of deadpit.com, and you can click on it. If you want to donate $5, if you want to donate $500, we can use every damn dime of it because I'm in Eastern Kentucky. I'm trying to put together a quality horror show every week, pretty much single-handedly, you know, with a little bit of help from Steve and even a little bit less help from Uncle Bill. So anybody that, you know, wants to throw some bones our way to help, you know, with the server costs, and we're actually getting some new Dead Pit merchandise and artwork and stuff ready for you guys. As well. I think Steve's actually seen some of the some of the sketches so far. He's given his feedback on that. So
it's the rise of the B plan.
Yeah, we're gonna have it's gonna be cool because it's gonna be like a completely different website. I can update, you know, if there's some big news story, I can put it up. If
we want RSV ticker tape things going around the bottom.
If we want to do, reviews, like if Steve wants to do a random written review, which I would never recommend Steve doing.
What?
But, that's just.
What's wrong with you?
What?
I do great reviews. I don't know what your problem is.
Well, Steve, you need to use spell check, buddy. Your grammar's not the best. And this is coming from somebody in Eastern Kentucky, so.
I went to school in the early 70s, so.
Early 60s.
70s.
Speaking of which, though, actually, I haven't even had a chance to open it. Maybe I can open it on air here.
Oh, it better be something for me.
I got it in the mail. Actually, it could be for you, Steve. One of them could be, because there's two of them, and I wouldn't feel right about giving the other one to Uncle Bill since he didn't participate in the interview at all.
Is that what I think it is?
It is two copies
yes.
of the Phantasm Exhumed
yes.
book from Dustin McNeil that's actually out now. Awesome. There's going to be a new link on the website where you can check out the book and purchase the book yourself. But I'm just looking through it right now. And in my copy, he actually put, oh, this is cool. He put like, it's like a little piece of film from Phantasm in there. That's from my personal copy.
What's my copy got in it?
Your copy doesn't have anything in it, Steve.
Some of them.
But this is cool. It's actually a scene of Mike actually running in the mausoleum. That's pretty neat. Use that as a...
Mine's got a piece of the videotape of the original Phantasm video.
Right. And I wipe my ass with it.
Yeah.
This is a pretty cool little book. I'm flipping through it. Now,
is it a hardcover? Or?
No, it's not a hardcover, but it's 260 pages. Got a lot of behind-the-scenes photos in it, stuff like that, so that's pretty neat.
Yeah, cool.
I will try to possibly get your copy out to you at some point in the next year, Steve, but you will get it at some point.
Give me a break, dude.
But the book is available on Amazon.com if you want to check it out. It's The Unauthorized Companion, Phantasm Exhumed.
Is that a self-published book, or is it actually got a publisher?
I think he used Amazon.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm not positive on it. It says Harker Press. I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, you can get it at Amazon, I know for a fact. So definitely wanted to mention that. I just got that in, just opened it, and just looked at it. It's a good-looking book, and it looks like you did a really good job with it. So I'm looking forward to reading all about it, Steve.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. So... Maybe we can do a proper review at some point.
Yeah, you just got to give me my copy.
That's true. Maybe you can come down to Prestonburg and get it, boy.
My car probably would die halfway there, and I don't want to do that, dude.
I was thinking, though, it's not too, about, 4.5 months for Halloween season.
Yeah.
You're going to come back down for Halloween, big-ass Halloween bash, ain't you, the dead
kid? No.
Yeah.
Yeah, that last one about killed me, so...
No, you'll be good. You can come back down for it.
Scared my dog and everything.
It'll be
fun. I can't do that.
It'll be fun. I want to dress up. I think I've picked my costume already this year.
You're not going to be a devil?
No, I'm going to be Sloth from the Goonies.
Well, that'll be sexy.
Yeah. So anyway, this episode of Dead Pit, pretty much just the news. Not a whole lot of news anyway. Mainly just bullshitting, probably. Not a whole lot of stuff going on, I mean, as far as big news stories that people really give a shit about. You know, one thing that I wanted to mention, though, because, I was looking, I was just curious, because this was our home convention for so many years, and we haven't talked about conventions as much as we used to on here. So, I thought I would check out the Fright Night Film Fest and Fandom Fest website, right?
Yeah.
I was like, I wonder what they've got planned this year. I haven't talked to Ken or Myra or anybody associated with the convention in a long time. And I'm pretty much, I'm not going to say I'm done with conventions, but I'm just kind of, I don't know, I'm kind of done with them for the time being. I'm just kind of sick of the bullshit. I don't have anything against the promoters or anything. It's just the way that conventions are going. Just not my thing, but I was curious though, what they had planned, because last year at Fright Night, which Steve, did you go to it last year at all?
No.
I don't think you did.
That wasn't Fright Night. There was hardly any horror. It was all pop culture. Right. And it's a big clusterfuck. So yeah. I'm not going to spend my day inside a couple thousand people.
Right. And the thing is like, it's, I mean, even last year, where there's barely anybody, but there was the Walking Dead people. There was Monster Squad people.
Yeah.
But this year, man, I mean, it's even less. Like, they've got, I'm on the site now, they've got Serena Vincent. From Cabin Fever. Okay, that's kind of a horror person. You've got John Kasser from Tales from the Crypt. And then they've got people like somebody from the Underworld movie, somebody from True Blood. You've got people from some show called Being Human, which I've never heard of. I have no clue what the fuck that is.
That was on Sci-Fi if it was the U.S. version. They had a U.K. version.
Okay. Julie Benz, who I do know. But,
oh, yeah, from Dexter.
But still, yeah. And
yeah.
Luke Perry. Really? Luke Perry?
He was there one time before.
They've got like a fucking Star Trek reunion.
Yeah,
you know,
I saw something about
Jonathan
that.
Frakes, LeVar Burton, Marina Sirtis, Michael Dorn, and you've got fucking Kevin Sorbo, Bruce Boxleitner. I mean, man, like, I don't know what's wrong with just doing a horror convention. I mean, why is that? And I was talking to Jeff, you know, and I want to have Jeff back on here. Maybe we can get Jeff on next week or the next couple weeks. I'm talking about Jeff Waldridge from Scarefest, who, you know, has a lot of experience doing these shows, and I think that he did a damn good job at these shows. And
he's not at Scarefest no more, right?
No, he's not at Scarefest anymore. So we could probably, you know, we could probably talk some big-time shit with Jeff now. But the thing is, you know, and I know, like, I've said derogatory things about the promoter of one particular show, and I'll say it's Cinema Wasteland, but I don't like the guy, okay? But the thing is, I will commend the philosophy of that show, because they, you know, they know what kind of show they have, and they never stray from that, okay? And that's what kind of show I would like to see. Straight up, just a fucking, you know, a horror convention. I'm not saying, you know, be exactly like Sin Wasteland, do like the cult thing or whatever. But just rent a small hotel, get 5 or 6 guests, and fill it with vendors. And you're going to have fun, and you don't have to worry about these big-ass guarantees. You're not going to have, you know, photo ops. You have to pay $40 or $50 to take a photo with somebody looking like a fucking school prom picture or something. It's just stupid.
Retarded.
Okay. And no offense to water people with water in the brain. No offense. I'm just saying, I wish, and I was talking to Jeff, like I said, about this. I can picture it being the most fun little show. Somebody in Kentucky needs to do this, or in the area. Have it at a Holiday Inn or a Best Western or something.
At the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. And just scale it down, man. I mean, don't. You don't have to have 3,000 or 4,000 people there. It just doesn't need to. That doesn't need to. You know, you don't need that. You need a small, intimate horror convention. And that's what I miss. That's what I liked about Fright Night, you know, the first 3 or 4 years of the show.
Yeah, well, I mean, I've been to Cinema Wasteland a bunch of times, and no matter what it is, you got to admit that they got people who are rabid fans, and they go to every show no matter what.
And I realize that they're not, you know, there's not thousands of people going to that show, but at the same time, I think you can have a successful show, make money, have everybody come home happy, all the vendors come home happy, the celebrities come home happy, and don't worry about stroking your ego and saying, hey, we're the biggest convention here in the Midwest, we're the biggest convention in Kentucky. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care. Once Fright Night, and again, if Ken listens to this, this is no knock on him at all. He's always been fair to us. He always paid for a hotel room, gave us a free table, nice as hell to us. Came down here for one of the, he came down here for the Madman screening as well. Good guy. I have no problem with Ken. What I didn't like about the show the last time we went in 2012 is it didn't resemble the type of show that I love when he was doing Fright Night. And it started, it got too big, you know.
Yeah.
And it's just not fun. It was not fun to go and run around everywhere trying to figure out where am I supposed to be? I'm standing in line to stand in another line to get in another line to the line to get in, you know. And there's some line for this, another line for that, a line out the door for a photo op. You're in line to get an autograph. So-and-so comes up to get a fucking photo op. Now you're waiting on them to get done with the photo ops. You're waiting in another line, you know. It's just not fun, man. And I really wish that a show would come along that would get it and be like, look, we don't need to be the biggest show in the state. You know, we want to be the best show and have the best, you'll have the best time at this show. You know, because a lot of people are going to these things for a vacation, for a getaway, you know.
I mean, I thought, I had an idea where say, hey, we can get this person in here, and we would hang out with him all day Saturday, whoever. You know, my idea would be Kevin Tenney. You fly him in, you get enough people together so everything's paid for as far as the guest, and then you could invite some vendors there for whatever, or even for free, and then maybe rent a banquet room or something, and then you know, so it's a very small scale thing, right. And you know, everybody feels, you know, everybody's chipping in money to bring that guest in to pay the fee, so there is no having to drop money when you go to that guest table or, you know, talk to him. So, I mean, I don't know. But, I mean, yeah, I agree. The smaller, intimate shows are, you know, a lot better because, I mean, even Whorehound up in Cincinnati. No, yeah, it was in Cincinnati. Me and Dana went there, and it wasn't at a hotel room. It was in, like, some kind of, I don't know what it was.
It was a convention center.
Yeah, and it had people downstairs, upstairs. I mean, it was crazy.
Look, Whorehound can't do a small sales show. They just can't.
No, but I mean, I just think that that last show to me, I mean, we were there for only a couple hours, but it didn't seem right in that location because it was just like.
I've heard a few people say that.
We're in a basement. I mean, even though it's a nice.
Right.
Area. It's not like it's a dump, but it doesn't feel right because now here you got people above you and people, and like there's Bruce Campbell signing here and other people in these rooms, and it is weird. And yeah. I have to say that was my least favorite Whorehound, but. You know, I've been to several of them over the last 6 or so years, and I'm getting burnt out on them.
Yeah,
so
I'm totally burnt out on these shows, and odds are I won't go to any show this year. But it's nothing against the shows. I think that the shows themselves, like, they have the best of intentions, these promoters. But at the same time, you got to realize, okay, enough is enough, you know. I mean, I think... I will say I think Fright Night is, at least so far, it's not, the convention's not till August, I don't think. They haven't really overbooked the show like they did in the last couple of years, which I think last year was just insane. Like,
people were just like really complaining, and yeah. I mean, people were even the celebrities that were there were on there going, you should get your money back, and I mean, just all kinds of nuts things.
Yeah, I think last year hurt that show quite a bit. I mean, it was on like the Louisville News and all that shit. But I think that there's room for another convention in Kentucky, and I'm hoping if somebody listens to this out there that wants to do it, you know, if you've got the backing, if you've got the people that can do it, Dead Pit will get behind you 100%. I don't care, you know, because we don't have any affiliation with Scarefest anymore since Jeff left. You know, I doubt if I come to Scarefest, and Scarefest has a decent lineup so far. I'm not saying I wouldn't come to Scarefest, but I probably won't be there as a vendor. I'll probably come for maybe one day or something if I go. But all I'm saying is there's room for another convention, and I think this one needs to be a straight up horror convention. Don't stray from that. Don't go for the paranormal. Don't go for fantasy, sci-fi.
Reality stars.
Reality. Don't even go for wrestlers, even though I would love to meet wrestlers. Don't do that. Stick straight to horror. Book 5 or 6 guests a show. Fill it up with vendors. Have it in October. There's not a show in October in Kentucky. And as popular as all these haunted houses and all this fucking corn mazes and bullshit is, I guarantee you, you're going to make some money if somebody does this. You ain't going to have to put up a whole lot of money. You know, get some of these horror stars, get Kane Hodder, get Michael Berryman, get people like that. And, you know, that's all you need to do. But I guess that's, but you would have Dead Pit's backing, guarantee you. If somebody wants to message Dead Pit at deadpit.com and send us a message, and we will help in any way possible. If this is something you guys want to do,
I'll be your announcer.
And I think we could have people. Yeah, Steve can be the, he can be the MC of the event. Stop by here at Joel Robinson's booth and get some artwork and all that good shit.
We also could get, like, Night of the Living podcast there so they could put on their show.
Yeah, we could have them sitting around and nobody coming up to them. Which has been the past 16 or 17 Horror Hound shows.
Yeah.
Like, I'm amazed, and this is not a knock on them, really, because I don't know them. They could be nice guys.
No.
I've never heard anybody ever say, oh, man, I've listened to Not a Living Podcast, dude. That's so awesome.
But I just think it's crazy because it's like they come here and it's like a big old professional deal. So, you know, they either got money or spent a lot of money or something. And then it's like, what the fuck?
Yeah, they got like these $85. They got like 6 or 7 of these $85 microphones and stands and this big $700 mixer.
Yeah.
Like, goddamn it! I'm using this mixer that barely works half the time. It's got dust and crud and shit all over it that we've had for like 14 years doing music and all kinds of shit on it. So, yeah, it's not about that. You can buy all that shit in the world, but you can't buy a personality, motherfucker.
You can't buy that stuff, right?
Anyway, we should probably take a break. This is going to be a brief Dead Pit show. Steve's got somewhere to be, and you know. I had somewhere to go earlier, so we had to start this a little late. But when we come back, we have news to get to.
Right on.
And all that good stuff here on Dead Pit.
Red Rum! Red Rum!
Hey folks, now you have an opportunity to listen to every episode of Dead Pit Radio that's ever been recorded. Isn't that right, Uncle Bill?
All of your favorite shows with all of your favorite interviews and all of the skits that made us legendary can now be yours. Imagine it.
Yeah, it's not Dead Pit Premium. We've talked about that for a while, but this is an opportunity for the next 3 or 4 months for you to donate some of your money so we can pay for server costs to include such famous Dead Pit episodes as the John Carpenter Show.
Or the George Romero Show.
The Angus Scrim Show, boy!
And so many others, including guys like Joe Dante and Stuart Gordon and all of your favorite directors and actors from horror films.
Scream queens like Linnea Quigley, Felissa Rose, Tiffany Shepis. The list goes on and on and on and on. Tons of interviews and skits all the way back to the very first Dead Pit Radio Show, which hasn't been heard in, 4 or 5 years now?
Probably at least that. So all we're asking is for a small donation from a lot of people to keep this going.
Yeah.
And all of those shows can be yours.
That's right. Brand new Dead Pit website is debuting this fall. And the goal is, by probably September or October, it'll be up. And it will, if your donations meet expectations, okay? And there's no masturbations on board. It'll include 2005, 2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013, and yes, 2014. We've been doing this show too fucking long.
That's true, but think about it. You can get it at the beginning, you can get it in the middle, and you can get it towards the end, which is where we're at right now.
That's true.
But all that can be yours from the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be.
DeadPit.com. Donation boxes on the main page. You know what, Uncle Bill?
Shut your fucking mouth right now.
No. I want to talk about Fast Custom Shirts.
Holy shit. Well, let's talk about it.
FastCustomShirts.com provides some of the best horror t-shirts I have ever fucking seen.
I don't think that you can really fully appreciate how awesome the t-shirts are over at FastCustomShirts.com until you go over to FastCustomShirts.com and look for yourself.
Yeah. The Hitman T-Shirt Joe. The highest quality of shirts that I've actually designed some of, Uncle Bill. He actually lets the fans design some of the shirts for his site. Who else does that? Who else?
Nobody I know of. But when he's not busy playing with Carmen Opposite, he's busy cranking out some of the most high-quality fucking shirts that you're going to find this side of any other damn whore t-shirt maker.
Yeah. So check him out. FastCustomShirts.com. The best there is...
The best there was.
And the best there ever will be.
It's a boot respect.
Howdy folks, it's Creepy Kentuckian here. Have you ever seen those ultraviolet or voodoo codes included with the newest DVD or Blu-ray releases? If you're not using them, I can. You can send them to me via email at wesvance@gmail.com. That's WESVANCE @gmail.com. Or you can just send me a private message on Facebook. If you want to send me an image, or type out the code, either one will work, and I would greatly appreciate it. With thousands upon thousands of physical copies in my collection, I simply don't have the space to buy movies anymore. So with the help of you guys, I can see the latest releases without having them take up room at Dead Pit headquarters. I will accept any movie and any voodoo credit you have, you can email my way. Once again, that's WESVANCE@gmail.com, WesVance@gmail.com, or on Facebook. Private message me. Thanks, guys, and enjoy the rest of the show.
Hi, this is Adrienne Barbeau, and you're listening to Dead Pit Radio.
Welcome back to Dead Pit Radio. Creepy Kentuckian still here with you, along with the B-Plan.
Booyah.
Who loves playing with his wiener dog.
Yes.
I got some news, horror news, not a whole lot of it, but some. Friday the 13th remake. Yes, there's another remake. The new release date is Friday, November 13th, 2015. So we're still about a year and a half away from that, Steve.
Oh, man.
So we're going to have
to
wait.
What about the TV show?
The TV show, I haven't heard anything on that lately, but we'll have to wait and see. But if you want to see the remake anytime before 2015, you got to go back and watch the remake from 2009. They've remade this movie, and I've just completely given up. Like, I don't even like to complain anymore, because what good does it do? We've been bitching and shit for about almost 10 years, and it's just gotten worse.
God damn. I got a cut of the movie that makes it a sequel instead of a remake, and it really is pretty cool.
How does that work?
They took, like, they cut, like, the beginning off, and then added some stuff from other movies in the other movies in it a little bit, and even Jason versus Freddy. But I mean, it's a, you know, it just makes the movie different.
No,
I think Dana's only watched that one cut of the movie. She never watched the real movie. She's only watched that particular cut.
Yeah, the real I mean, not that it's bad compared to a lot of the other remakes, but again, it's not like, I don't know. It's not the best damn thing ever either.
No, but I mean, it's fun. And,
it's all right.
You know, what can you do?
Yeah, it's got the guy from Supernatural in it, so. Carry on my wayward son. That's it.
Wow.
Scream Factory update coming soon.
Yes.
From the company is the 1972 Tales from the Crypt along with 1973 Vault of Horror on a double feature.
Right on.
Blu-ray. Also coming is the 1985 Doctor and the Devils.
The Devils.
Which I've never heard of that.
I seen it many, many years ago.
The underrated grave robber thriller was produced by Mel Brooks and stars Timothy Dalton, Patrick Stewart, Stephen Ray, and Jonathan Pryce, and even Twiggy. Who's Twiggy?
She was a model back in English model.
Oh, God.
That means, yeah, you're shit, dude.
That's Twiggy, boys. I thought she was talking about the guitarist from Marilyn Manson.
Yeah, Twiggy Ramirez.
Yeah. Also on Blu-ray for the first time. Both will arrive sometime this fall. So, again, I mean, not saying, you know, of all the shit that Scream Factory's released, they're going to put the Tales from the Crypt movie in a double feature. That makes no sense at all.
Why not?
God damn it, because they put Prison out by itself. They put, like, how much shit did they put out by, I mean, stuff that's just shitty, you know?
Yeah,
that fucking Rat movie put out by itself, what was the name?
Hey, shut your mouth.
Whatever, buddy.
That just
makes no sense to me at all, unless, the only thing I could figure is the transfers on those are shitty or something, I don't know. Maybe that's the case.
They go together? They've always been a double feature. Even the Midnight movies from MGM, they were double features.
That doesn't matter. They're separate movies.
Yeah, but they're the same vein. They're inspired by the same stuff.
Oh, God. Well, why couldn't they have released Halloween 2 and 3 in a double feature then? That's the same fucking thing.
No, it's not.
Well, it's Halloween 2 and Halloween 3.
Yeah, but this ain't like Tales from 1 and Tales from Crypt 2. But even because the storylines are completely different in those movies. These are anthology movies, and they all pretty much inspired by the EC comics.
Inspired or expired?
Both.
I think Scream Factory, and I appreciate their releases, but I honestly think that they've done blew their fucking load.
Well, I want them to like me so we can get some. I can get some screeners.
Eli Roth's Green Inferno, Steve.
Yes.
The trailer was recently released. I still haven't seen it. Have you?
I just saw like the teaser trailer. No, I've been aiming to catch up with it.
Yeah. The Green Inferno starring Larenza Izzo, Ariel Levi.
Ariola,
yeah. Daryl Sabara and Kirby Bliss Blanton, baby.
Bliss Blanton.
Follows a group of student activists who from New York City traveled to the Amazon to protect a dying tribe, but crash in the jungle and are taken hostage by the very natives they saved.
Well, that's crazy. What's wrong with those natives?
Yeah, doesn't that sound kind of similar? something else.
I don't care. Who cares? Everybody's been breaking. Jesus Christ, Mac and Me is a fucking rip off of fucking E.T. with the Big Macs and shit.
Yeah.
So I mean,
Mac and Me's not out on Blu-ray though, is it?
No,
that's some bullshit.
Oh yeah, that's a big outcry.
It is.
Petitions online for Mac and Me.
Another one that Scream Factory has coming out on August 26th, The Legend of Hell House.
Yes.
Roddy McDowall heads the cast of this exciting chiller about four psychic investigators and the dark, brooding mansion they call the Mount Everest of haunted houses. It's already destroyed. One team of researchers, now brave quartet, ventures in for another try at unraveling its secrets. But before they succeed, they must suffer through the madness, murder, and everything else that the spirits who dwell there have in store for them. Yet learning the truth just might drive them all insane.
See? Yeah. I love that movie, dude.
Maybe I've seen that, but it's been a long damn time. Did it come out? Is it in the 70s? Did it come out in the 70s or the 60s?
No, it came out in the 70s. I think early 70s.
No. Special features include a new interview with director John Haug, new audio commentary with actress Pamela Franklin, and a theatrical trailer.
I saw that on, you know, it used to be on the Aftermoon Movie back in the day when they had Aftermoon Movies. Mm-hmm. On the weekends and shit. And I always loved that movie. Yeah. So, I'm looking forward to seeing it on the Blu-ray disc.
Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil, Steven.
You all mad?
Coming in theatres on July 2nd, Eric Bana, Edgar Ramirez, Olivia Munn, Sean Harris, and Joel McHale star in the supernatural thriller Deliver Us From Evil.
Olivia Munn, I hope she shows her boobs.
Olivia Munn is going to show her cooter.
Yay!
The film follows New York police officer Ralph Sarchi, played by Bane.
Ralph!
And I gotta be honest with you, Eric Bana's best film was The Hulk. That's saying something right there. Who's struggling with his own personal issues as he begins investigating a series of disturbing and inexplicable crimes. He joins forces with the unconventional priest, played by Ramirez, schooled in the spirit and the rituals of exorcism to combat the frightening and demonic possessions that are terrorizing their city. This film is based upon the book, which details Sarchi's bone-chilling real-life cases. And this is actually a rare, I guess, pseudo-horror film that is going to be in theaters, and it's coming July the 2nd. So, when's the, have you kept track with theatrical horror movies this year? Because I know there's not many at all. It's, you know, that's been out there. I don't know. I can't really even think of hardly any.
Well, Oculus, The Quiet Ones, that's the only two that come to mind at the moment. I mean,
yeah, and we're
in
June.
January they had the marked ones, the Paranormal Activity.
Yeah. And that's every year. Look, that's...
Yeah.
Well, it's just like, are studios that scared of, you know, bringing something out? I mean, does it cost them that much money?
I mean, I don't know what they're doing. I mean, it does seem there's a lot that horror is the most popular genre for, you know, movies coming out that don't go to theaters.
Right. I think it's the most popular genre pretty much period though. I mean, you know, it's typically, I remember when we were working with The Strand, when they were open, the lady that worked there was like, horror films are always the most popular films in the theater here, you know? And I think that would be universal pretty much everywhere, you know, every theater, you would think, there has to be some reason that they're really not making horror movies right now, at least the ones that coming out in the theater.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know all the Hammer movies that's been released recently have done pretty well. I don't know about The Quiet Ones. We watched it and it was okay, but it wasn't anything special. So it's just, I don't know. I don't know where all the horror movies went. You would think that I was hoping for a renaissance where we get a bunch of slashers and shit.
Where have all the horror movies gone?
But you don't get too many of them.
Yeah, it's like, that is pretty much the news, man. I mean, how sad is that? Not a whole lot of shit going on.
You should catch up with Hannibal.
I'd probably need to watch from, I've got the first season on Vudu.
Oh, the second season, next season's going to be good. It got renewed, so.
They're going to be more season of Hannibal, baby.
Hannibal, Annabelle's, so it's going to be good.
Hannibal, if you will. Just try to continue on with the news.
Yeah, continue.
it's going to be difficult. I'm looking up the DVD and Blu-ray releases this coming week for June the 10th. And you've got, let's see, you've got a film called The Haunt coming out.
Yeah.
From IFC Films.
IFC Midnight.
I've never heard of it. Years ago, Dr. Janet Murillo, Jackie Weaver from Silver Lining Playbook, baby, saw her entire family die in their house under tragic and gruesome circumstances. Wanting a change of scenery, she sells her home to the Asher family, including the teenage son, Evan. Evan is the only one suspicious about his family's supposed new dream house. After striking up a friendship with his troubled neighborhood friend, Samantha discovers a way to communicate with the ghosts of the slaughtered Morello family. But soon, Evan and Samantha's morbid curiosity into the supernatural turns dangerous as the spirits start to manifest themselves in the physical world. Now, despite the warnings of Dr. Morello, the teens are determined to discover the terrible secrets that surround the ghastly apparitions and send them back to the realm of the dead before it's too late. That sounds fucking horrible. Here's another one that's coming out. I swear to God, this is the name of the movie. The Ghost of Goodnight Lane, baby.
Woo!
The Ghost of Goodnight Lane. Billy Zane stars in this one, by the way.
Hell yeah, Billy Zane!
And they have absolutely nothing, no synopsis on here.
You need one with Billy Zane!
The cover says, "The roots of evil run deep." Yeah. Billy Zane and Lacey Chabert star in Ghost of Goodnight Lane, if you will. You can get that right now if you act on Amazon for $9.96. If you feel like whopping your ass with $9.96, go right ahead. One that I think you may have seen that they have on here is Patrick Evil Awakens.
Yes.
That one comes out on Blu-ray.
Very nice. Very good. I mean, to be honest, I think I liked it better than the original Patrick.
Well, you're a player hater, Steve.
This one is, it's got some, it's got some good stuff going on in it. It's not great, but it's definitely, I would definitely watch it if you're looking for something. And the original Patrick is very slow. I mean, it's not horrible either, but this one has a little bit more going on in it, I would think, at least in my opinion. So I would say rent it, you know.
Okay, if you can find somewhere to rent it, maybe you can Netflix it or something. Where the fuck would I have that?
Or, it'll be out. I mean, I'm sure it's. I would be surprised.
Redbox won't have that. No way.
Yeah.
Nope.
Huh?
Redbox ain't gonna have that.
They got shitty movies in there all the time, like fucking sci-fi
movies. I would be shocked if they had that.
Well, I don't know. I never rented from
Phase 4 films, man. Like, no. Ain't no damn way.
It'll be out, you know.
Here's another one, man. Like, somebody should send us a review of this just because, like, it's just... I would be curious to see this, actually. I wonder if I can get a copy of this.
Me too.
Bigfoot versus D.B. Cooper.
I'll skip that one.
I'm serious. Linnea Quigley starring in this, too. Type of movie she's in. And Eric Roberts is in this, too.
Wow. Wow. He went from the Dark Knight to Bigfoot versus D.B. Cooper.
Yeah. All it says is when several young hunters arrive at a secluded lodge in the Pacific Northwest, little do they know that they will become hunted. Will they become hunted by Bigfoot or D.B. Cooper?
Maybe D.B. Cooper is Bigfoot.
That's true. You should see the cover of this. Look, this shit is hilarious.
I bet somebody's got some sunglasses on, right?
Yeah, D.B. Cooper does.
Yeah, that's him.
And Bigfoot's looking for, he's looking for D.B. Cooper, and he wants some of his cash and some of his, what's funny is in this cover, like, I don't know, okay, are they going to set this in, like, the 60s or whatever it was when D.B. Cooper, because...
Yeah, something in the 70s.
Yeah, or whenever the fuck it was. Because they've got D.B. Cooper here. He's still got the briefcase full of money. And he's still young, and he's still got his attire on, the black suit and the white shirt and all that shit.
Yeah, well, I would have to be in the 70s then, wouldn't
Well, let's it? Hope so, but, it's probably made by a retard, so who knows.
Well, whoever thought that was a good idea probably
oh,
is.
Oh, God. Rapid Heart Pictures, though, that's who released that. They got a movie on here. Somebody sent me this movie. Will I probably ever watch it? Probably not. It's called Hide and Seek, and it's an Asian movie. It's directed by He Jung. I'm not kidding.
That's his
name.
I'll watch it. Send it to me with my book.
Buddy, am I supposed to send you everything?
Yeah.
Let's see. I'll read you the synopsis on this since we have time to kill. Sung Soo has everything, a beautiful wife and children, a comfortable home and a luxury car.
Yeah.
Plenty of money in the bank.
Money in the bank, pay-per-view.
Yeah. When he learns that his estranged brother has gone missing, he visits his apartment in search of answers. Unsettled by a shabby, half-empty apartment complex, he quickly notices strange symbols inscribed in the doorbells and the terrified residents who hurriedly lock their doors at night at the sight of an outsider. The disturbing visit follows Sung Soo and his family home as they soon find themselves stalked by a mysterious masked figure. The same strange symbols appear under their doorbell. With his own nightmares escalating out of control, Sung Soo must face his most primal fears to reveal the shocking truth behind the intensifying horror. Reading that bored the shit out of me. I can only imagine how fucking boring the movie would be.
I tell you, one movie I watched recently was called Confessions of a Murderer. It was a Korean movie. Yeah. And, man, I really liked that. It changes gears about two or three times during the whole movie, and everything you thought was going on completely changes. So, I mean, I think that's out on DVD and stuff, but, Asian films, some of them are, if they're not freaking ghost movies, they're pretty decent.
Let's see.
Also, I saw the trailer for Sharknado 2 with Tiffany Shepis.
Tiffany Shepis in Sharknado 2.
Yes, she's right there on the Facebook. Oh. You see her. She posted the trailer, and she's like in the very first scene of the trailer.
Well, good for her, I guess.
She's moving up, dude.
Is that really moving up?
I mean, she's on a movie that's on nationwide television.
That's
I think
true.
That's moving up.
She's sharing the screen with Ian Ziering or whatever the fuck.
And what's her face? Tara Reid, which. Tara Reid will be at the Days of the Dead convention here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm sure you're excited about that.
I want to see what she looks like up close.
15 movie box, big box of horror they got coming out with a bunch of shit. Bunch of shit I never heard of. Howling 4 is going to be on though. And
that's a good one.
First Killjoy, something called The Cry, something called Familiar, something called The Nurse. Prom Night 1 and 2 is going to be on there. I'm sure Don May's excited about that.
Yeah, I'll probably get that instead of Don May's releases.
Yeah, it's cheaper. you can get all 15 of these for just $13.49 on Amazon. Or you can go to Kmart and probably find them for $5.
We went to Kmart a couple weeks ago. We couldn't find shit good. Well, yeah, we found all these multi-packs, but fuck, I wasn't going to waste money on that.
Well.
Oh, actually, I think we saw that multi-pack with Prom Night in it.
Yeah, it's $5.
Yeah, it was cheap, but I wasn't about to get it.
Yeah. So.
Oh, by the way, we got our prom night commentary up, don't we?
You do. Prom night commentary is still up.
And coming soon, Crazy Fat Ethel commentary.
Also, what we're going to throw out there, too, the people that donate $30 or more can pick a fan commentary, right? Didn't we say we was going to do that?
I suggested it, but, yeah, I mean, that sounds cool. That sounds, you know, reasonable.
Yeah. So, we got that going on as well.
Sober commentaries or not?
If you want to drink, you can.
Oh, okay. You're on Lent. You can't drink.
That's right.
You got lint in your belly button.
Not anymore. I just washed it out the other day.
Oh, but that was a big clog.
Yeah, I got like, when you get you some soap on a little rag there and you're in the shower. Yeah. Wash it out. It almost looks like you wiped your ass on that rag when I pulled it out of there. I was like, oh.
Well, yeah. You probably thought it was one of your kittens.
Yeah, that was Noodle's long lost kitten. Let's see, anything else going on? You want to talk about briefly we could do some wrestling talk. You want to talk about the Shield breaking up?
I mean, yeah, it was pretty. I mean, everybody knew it. Anytime you see a group of people together, heel or face or whatever, tag team, at some point they're going to break up.
Yeah.
I guess they kind of went with the most everybody thought Ambrose was going to be the guy to turn heel. So, Seth Rollins is a good heel because he was in the Ring of Honor. And he's a great wrestler, too.
Yeah, I think Triple H kind of likes him, too, from what I understand. They're kind of high on him. So he'll probably get a pretty big push.
Yeah, I mean, plus you know that Roman Reigns is getting man, his back looked all fucked up, didn't it?
Yeah, I think that a lot of that was from the night before, too.
Yeah, God, I showed his back, and I was like, I mean, you could tell that shit. They hitting him hard.
Yeah. Now, that was, I think that was a well-planned, segment there. Nobody really expected that, though, when it happened. I'll be interested in seeing what they do with that, you know. So, but Payback, I thought was, did you watch Payback?
Yeah.
I thought it was okay. I mean, we talked about it on the WrestleManiac show. I mean, it just seemed to me like, it was just like a glorified Monday Night Raw, though. I mean, it wasn't anything that special. Nothing really monumental happened, you know. And I think in some form, they should do something big on every damn pay-per-view, whether it's in the main event or, you know, something, a heel turn or something in the card, do something.
Yep. I mean, to be honest with you, wouldn't the night before have been a better time to do a heel turn on a pay-per-view? Stuff like that doesn't happen very often on pay-per-views anymore. That's kind of what they used to be, is some big moment that would be memorable. And
well, they do. If they do it on a pay-per-view, it's on like either WrestleMania or SummerSlam or something. They don't do it like the monthly pay-per-views are kind of thrown away. They don't do anything. Like, they didn't change any title or they didn't do nothing on that fucking pay-per-view. And that's the thing I have, issue with. Just make it special. Make something, because there's a reason, people aren't really interested in WWE Network as much as they thought, because they're not putting the stuff out there. Yeah, you've got the pay-per-views and stuff, but you're not making a must-see, you're making Raw kind of a must-see because all the big shit happens on Raw.
Yeah.
So maybe balance some of the big shit, make some big shit happen on the pay-per-views.
What about TakeOver? Did you see that?
I did see that. That was a fun show. I enjoyed that. Actually, I was talking to Schneeberger about, do you think the Shield's done, or do you think they might recruit a new member? And if you think... there you go. Do you think maybe Sami Zayn or somebody like that would be a good fit in the Shield? Because I think that'd be cool if they were to bring him up.
I don't think that they're going to bring him up. I heard other people say that too, and I just don't think that he's right for that. I think he would be a better character alone. I'm trying to think of someone in there that would be good for that type of thing. There's one linky guy or lanky guy.
I know. I thought another one.
Yeah.
Mojo Rawley.
I don't care for him.
I'm just kidding.
Because he's too hyped.
That's right. He's just shitty, man. I don't like him either.
Have you seen that guy, Big Kaz? He's like a real tall, lanky guy with long hair.
No.
He's on his partner got hurt and he's out, so they don't show him very often. But I think he would make a good fit in there. But
man, I honestly think Sami Zayn would be a good fit because he's not a guy that's. I don't think he's going to get over by himself. I mean, he's a great in ring guy, but he's not a good talker. You know, and he doesn't really have that personality to him.
What
yet.
About this shit? Have you heard that Kevin Steen? You probably don't even know who that is. He's pretty much close to getting signed. You ever seen him?
He's a Ring of Honor dude. It's like, and yeah, kind of a heavier set guy, and he does some crazy shit.
He is a good talker. I mean, that dude. I mean, if he does go in there, I just can't wait to hear some of the shit because he's really. You know, he can be really raw and all kinds of stuff. So I'm just, like, wondering what's going to happen if he gets signed. And there's some other
Adrian Neville. They could bring Adrian Neville in.
They're going to want to keep NXT as a viable brand. So if they're a big star there, they may not want to take them away from there. And I don't know. I mean, Aaron Neville.
Aaron Neville. I think they're bringing Aaron Neville in to like the Kentucky State Fair this year or something. They had like a picture of him on TV. Dude, that guy he looks like a fucking homeless guy now or something. He's got like a sword or something tattooed on his face.
Oh, God.
I'm not even kidding. You need to look up.
I love you.
What was that one song that he had? I used to be able to do an impression of him pretty good. I can't remember.
What was that one with Linda Ronstadt?
No, he had this one song. I can't remember some love song that every fucking middle-aged woman loved back in the day. Adrian Neville, though, is what we're talking about, not Aaron Neville.
Yeah. But me and Dana saw him a couple years ago up in Indianapolis when he was at Dragon Gate USA, and he was just, you know, awesome then. And he still does almost the same exact style, which, you know, is pretty hard on your body. Especially your knees.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he'll be doing.
He's a really small guy.
Yeah, he's about my size, but you know, of course, a lot muscular, and he's got big old ass ears sticking out.
He really does.
But I mean, hey, you know.
That's his look, though.
I mean, that's the way it is. That's why you grow your hair out so you can cover those big ears.
Yeah, and it still ain't covering them up too good.
Yeah.
So that is it, I guess. We will see what happens with the Shield. I think that they probably will bring somebody else in.
I did hear that they Reigns and Ambrose were doing a tag team on SmackDown. So
okay, we will see.
We will see.
So we will be back next week. Hope everybody enjoyed the show. Hope everybody has a lovely weekend and all that good stuff. So,
yeah, do all that.
Yeah, we will be back next week. Hopefully we'll have somebody on. I want to talk to somebody. We can get Jeff or
Maybe
we can get Sleepy on. Maybe we can get Uncle Bill on.
Oh, we should do an interview with Uncle Bill.
Yeah, if he could, you know, he's such a busy man out whoring around all the time. It's.
Whoa, hey now.
So anyway, we will be back next week, and until then, I'm the Creepy Kentuckian.
I'm the B-Plan.
And you've been listening to the number one rated, often imitated, never duplicated, Ballers and Shot Callers of Horror Talk Radio since 2005,
deadbeat.com. Com.
All over your face.
Ooh. Gross.
Why the hell do I have to fall in love? wanna become who I used to pretend I was. And I'm hanging this headache up. Never counted on it taking this long. Never counted on anything going wrong. It couldn't be fixed with a song. But the clouds started spilling down rain, and the gods never called my name. And I tried, but my eyes can't hide my pain. Two years since I forgot my place. I think it's safe to say I lost that race. Trying to figure out if I'm okay. I'm up and then I fall back down. Spit another couple slogans out my mouth. Nothing quite works out. And the clouds started spilling down rain. And the gods never called my name. And I tried, but my eyes can't hide my shame. Headache up.